Hello, this is Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in. Sonny Wilkinson moved to Michigan after 15 years as a performer in the Sunshine State and has been brightening up audiences here ever since. In addition, she's helped train a new generation of young vocalists at Michigan State and Western Michigan University. Her new album, Into the Light, has just been released. Sonny Wilkinson and the new professor of jazz piano at Western, Matthew Fries, joined Jazz Currents host Keith Hall in the studio at WMUK for a session of music and conversation. The recording engineer is Martin Clem.
Today we have with us the delightful vocalist, Sonny Wilkinson. The critics have called Sonny radiant, magnificent, and one of a kind. I've been a huge admirer of hers for many years. Welcome, Sonny.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Keith.
Well, it's great to have you here, and I see you've brought our WMU professor of jazz piano, Matthew Fries, along with you. Let's kick things off with some music.
Well, we'd like to start off with a tune that was written by one of my favorite composers, Jimmy Van Heusen, and it's called It Could Happen to You. I don't have anything remarkably deep to share about this tune, except that I just love it. It's one of those little gems that he often writes. So this is It Could Happen to You.
Hide your heart from sight. Lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars, my dear, or you might tumble. Someone dropped a sigh, down you'll tumble. Keep an eye on spring, run when church bells ring. It could happen to you. Once wonder how your arms would feel, and it happened to me. Hide your heart from sight, lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars, my dear, or you might stumble. Someone dropped a sigh and died. Would feel, and it happened.
swinging. Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. What a great way to start the show. Sonny, you are so swinging.
Thank you.
I've always loved that about you. And I remember as a student here at Western years ago when you were teaching some of my friends voice lessons, and how I can see and hear now things that they've gotten from you.
Oh, that is so nice. Thank you, Keith. I just have to say, it's so funny because I tell my students now, I wasn't born into this style of music either. You know, I was born into Janis Joplin and Judy Collins and Joni Mitchell, right? But somehow, once you get, you listen and you get the swing inside you, it's so much fun. And, you know, Matthew and I haven't really played together, but as soon as you start to swing and play those tunes, it's like you've known each other your whole life.
Yeah,
it's like feels like best friends. Yeah, it's great.
That's great. Awesome.
Well, we have so much to talk about. Before we get too far, maybe you could give us a little bit of background about how you started singing, some of your early influences.
I was born into a musical family. My daddy was a Methodist minister. My mama was a music major, so she directed the choirs in our church. And my daddy had a beautiful tenor voice. And we just sang around the household. We sang four-part harmony. My sister and I would pick a tune, and she would sing the melody, and I'd sing it a tritone away from her, and we'd laugh and giggle. And so we were just very musical. My mom was sort of radiant and extroverted, and we would act out music theater in front of a mirror and sing West Side Story at the top of our lungs. And it was just a very expressive and yet very musical family. So we all took piano lessons, and because we had one lying around the house and it was clear I was going to be a tall kid, I played trombone all through college. And so I think all of those experiences helped craft my jazz personality. You know, singing fairly well in tune is important to me, and you can't play trombone out of tune, really. It's all according to your ear. And so I learned a lot from that, singing in the church, of course. And then formative experiences, I joined my first rock and roll band when I was in high school and started singing Peter, Paul, and Mary and Jefferson Airplane stuff and all that great stuff. And when I got to college, I sat next to a tenor who had a Blood, Sweat, and Tears rock band. And I played trombone and I sang. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I was so lucky to be able to join that band and get sort of groomed for a professional life in music. Because, you know, you go to school during the day, and then during the night up until 3 a.m, you're out playing gigs, right?
Yeah.
It was, and then because of that, I played trombone in the jazz band at Arizona State, and I started getting hip to jazz because we didn't have a lot of that in my house. And I just, can I share a pivotal experience? All right, so the guys in the band were berating me because I didn't listen to jazz. I mean, honestly, Miles Davis came to Grady Gamage Auditorium, and I didn't go because I didn't know who he was. Well, that is just sad. And so the guys took me under their wing, and they force-fed me music. They said, you have to go home and listen to that. Listen to this. And I would do it. And so I took out, I was in the music library at Arizona State, and I put on Charles Lloyd, Forest Flower, on the record player, right, mind you. And I had my headphones on, and it was this Keith Jarrett solo on Forest Flower. And I went, oh, what was that? And it was so, all I can say is my brain just went kerfluffity, and I picked up the needle and I played it again, and I played it again, and I played it again. And I'm sure I wore that record out that day, but that was what it was for me. I just knew that I had to find out more because it was his solo on that tune that just changed everything. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's amazing. And I think of you as a vocalist, of course. I didn't know you played trombone.
Yes,
and then
I did.
Here, it's a piano solo that was kind of the gateway for you.
Yeah. And then I fell in love with it so much and played around town in a really safe environment, you know, getting your feet wet and learning all about gigging and performing and doing what you need to do to become a pro. And after college, I moved out to L.A., right? and really jumped in at the deep end.
And so, how long were you in L.A.?
I was there for 15 years.
I know you did a lot of different types of things in L.A. What were a couple of the highlights?
Well, my first gig there was at Disneyland. It was the opening of Space Mountain Stage, and I think it was 1977, I'm not sure. And they wanted to be bold, right? So the guys they brought in for the band were crazy. I mean, it was Larry Carlton's drummer, Albert Wing, who played with Frank Zappa, Michael Miller, who played with Frank Zappa. I mean, these crazy guys that, I mean, here, I just graduated from college. But the cool thing was, they became my basis of friendship and musicality there, and their musicality was out the roof. They were crazy good musicians. But when you're a self-employed musician, I'd say that I did everything but musical, what are those things? Not where you jump out of cakes, but you, singing telegrams, okay? No singing telegrams, but I think I did everything else, right? Until you get a name. And one of the things that I did that's still paying for itself is I was a session singer on the kids show Saved by the Bell.
Oh, really?
Where it goes, it's all right, because I'm saved by the bell. And I'm still making $6,000 a year off of that show.
What?
That was 30 years ago. I know, right? The highlights, to me, LA was a big, sprawling, rambling city, but it was such a community. The clubs were so alive then. And, you know, you go listen to the music and then you'd hang out until 4 in the morning. And the guys in the band were your friends and the singers were your closest friends. It was just a really good community when I was there. So lots of growth. Boy, talk about being burned by fire, because that's what they do. They school you.
Well, let's hear some more music.
Sure.
What else would you like to sing?
It is a James Taylor tune. The iconic James Taylor, who I just saw in concert with Bonnie Raitt. Oh, my gosh. I love that guy. He is, what a fantastic human being and astounding writer and voice. Anyway, always have loved his music. Kate Markowitz, who I knew from Los Angeles, is one of his background singers, which was nice to see. Anyway, my nephew went to school here at Western Michigan. I recruited him, actually. Anyway, for his senior recital, he reharmed this beautiful piece. He sort of took it off of Michael Brecker. Thank you, Michael Brecker CD. And so I thought it would be a lovely tribute to all three, to James Taylor, to Michael Brecker, and to my wonderful nephew, Sean Hill, to do this tune. So this is Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight.
But hold me tight. Save your goodbyes for the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, that was gorgeous. I mean, it helps to start with a great tune, of course.
It sure does.
But the way you sang it and the way you played it, Matthew, my goodness. Sonny, you have so many facets to your voice, right? You've got this wide range. You've got all these different timbres and textures that you use. I mean, you're just grabbing for every corner. You know, I mean, you packed so much into that performance. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh,
what you're thinking? Or,
thank you.
It's beautiful.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I think that's what I love about jazz music and also what's happening to jazz music, you know, that it's becoming, it's taking facets and from every different culture and world music. And it's, to me, it's, that's what it is. In classical music, which I studied when I was young, very proud of that, there is an aesthetic, it's perfection in the human voice, and a big resonance and a long, big, wide sound. But it, in a way, to me, it's a rigid aesthetic, you know, it's a perfect aesthetic. But that's not the case in jazz music. Jazz music is every color, every nuance, every growl, and especially if the person that does this without fail to me is Carmen McRae. So Carmen McRae will take a word like guy, and because of the color she uses or the growl she puts in it, you can tell by the color of shirt he's wearing, right? And I think that's our job as singers and musicians, is to paint audio coloral pictures, and that we have all these colors in our human voice. Why not use them?
How have you been able to stay consistent and stay positive and continue on?
Oh, I love that. I honestly attribute a lot of that to my mama. My mama had an indomitable spirit and a beautiful, joyful center to herself. And I think that's really important in what we do, because it's so easy to get eaten up by self-doubt and criticism of yourself. And also, let's face it, we're out there on our own a lot. Ain't nobody going to promote you except you, right? You have to have a good center of positivity about yourself to keep at it. And you also have to build a core of relationships that you can count on that lift you up when you're down and sort of kick you when you need a little kick too. My son, who is a contemporary composer, and I think brilliant, of course, he's getting his master's degree in music composition at the University of Maryland. And he was the kid that in the seventh grade won the competition for young composers for the Lansing Symphony. And he got to play the third movement. They played the third movement of his fifth symphony. That's right. He was in seventh grade. Was his writing any good? I have no idea. But he did it. He was writing like a crazy person. So he went into this period when he thought that the darker the muse, the better, right? And the ultimate dark muse is death and preoccupation with darkness. And he brought this home to me. And I am usually a really incredibly supportive mother. And I just said, that is ridiculous. I don't ever want to hear that again. That's absurd. And I won't say what I said to him because I used many expletive deletes. And then I said, I'm telling you this. It takes a lot more strength to live a positive, centered, joy-filled life than the silly path you're going down. So I don't even want to hear it. And he abandoned it. He said, Mom, I create much better from who I truly am. I go, yeah, exactly. So that's kind of, I work at that. And I try to instill that in my students. And I think it gives you you're a better leader, you're a better person. It's easier to be on stage when you're like that.
Yeah, that's some wisdom right there. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I hope I didn't preach too much, but I'm a preacher's kid.
It's all right.
Right?
That's all right. Well, let's hear some more music.
Yeah.
What else do you have today for us?
Oh, so this tune was written by Ellen Rowe and myself. Ellen Rowe was the head of jazz studies at that other school, University of Michigan. We have a long, long friendship. It started out when we did a mentoring group called Sisters in Jazz through a group called the International Association of Jazz Educators, which has recently morphed into GEN, the Jazz Education Network. And we mentored young ladies from around the world, really, put them together with professional women and did a concert. And it was thrilling, and it was lovely to see these beautiful young women flower and blossom. And we started playing together and writing together. This tune was written for the birth of Pete Sears' kid, Charlie. Pete Sears is one of our treasures here in Michigan, a wonderful drummer. And I wrote the lyric. I just think it's such a lovely tune. It's called Charlie's Tune.
For all of my life, I'm
dreamer, never the prize. Until I look in Charlie's sweet eyes, I find it's lovely just being held in his simple gaze. The miracle has come to me, and I am so very grateful I'm here. His little face would bring out the sun. It's got me off guard, completely undone by that sweet look. My little dreamer at home in Charlie's eyes. The miracle has come to me, and I am so very grateful I'm here, looking in his eyes. How could I? It's got me off guard, completely undone by that sweet look. My little dreamer at home in Charlie's.
Sonny Wilkinson in the studio at WMUK with pianist Matthew Fries and Jazz Currents host Keith Hall. Her new album, Into the Light, is available at her website, sonnywilkinson.com. She'll perform with legendary jazz guitarist Gene Bertoncini and bassist Tom Kanifick on March 26th at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University. More next week from Sonny Wilkinson. Jazz Currents features are made possible in part by a grant from the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. I'm Kara Lawrence. Have a great weekend.